Okay. This is a crash course in Helpful Muksa. This is trying to give you all the Helpful Muksa overview in one shot. The idea being that Muksa comes up all the time, and instead of having a thousand different shilas as to what Muksa is and different kinds, I will teach you the broad categories so that when you encounter a type of Muksa on Shabbos, when you're all alone, and there's no rabbi there to ask, that you'll be able to figure it out based on the rules and guidelines I'm providing now. If this one shot shir is enough, so speak to me afterwards, because I have a series of 10 shirim. I can give you the recordings, links, etc. So, but this is the broad overview of all those. We're going to try to explain a few concepts before we begin. There's something called tilkul lilitzar, handling something for no reason. Okay? I just feel like fiddling with this. I just want to hold it. Okay? Now, it's hard exactly to define it, because the minute I want to play with it, that's a tzorach. But we're just going to talk about, without even that, it's just something to handle. So we're going to discuss that there's categories of muksa that you're allowed to handle for no reason, and there are ones that you are not allowed to handle for no reason. The next concept is something called the tzorach gufo and the tzorach mekomo. The tzorach gufo means I want to use the object, but I want to use the object for a permissible use. So whatever the kind of object is, if it has a permissible use, even if it has a forbidden use, can I use that object for a permissible reason, such as to be a paperweight? The tzorach mekomo means it's in the way. I want wherever it is. For example, it's on the table, and now I want to set the table. It's in the way. I am walking here, and it's on the floor. I don't want to trip on it. So, can I move it or not? So that we're going to see that there's certain kinds of muksa you're allowed to move in those circumstances, and certain kinds that you are not. There's sheets in the back somewhere. I don't know. People walking in, just make sure you got it. Okay. Finally, there's another concept called mechama l'tzel, moving something from the sun to the shade. That's the Gemara's example. It's really a category, but it's when I move something for its benefit. As in, I'm worried it's going to get ruined, broken, stolen, lost. Can I move the item? Not because I want to use it. Not because I want it spot. For example, somebody left something out on the front lawn. I'm afraid somebody's going to take it. I'm afraid it's going to rain and it's going to get ruined. The spot on the front lawn, I don't need. I'm not going there all Shabbos long. But I don't want it to get ruined. Can I take that item and move it from the sun to the shade? Move it from outside, indoors. Move it from open and exposed to people, to elements, or safe and secure where it won't get ruined. Okay? Those are the concepts we're going to discuss. And now we're going to discuss the different categories of muksa. But before we discuss the categories of muksa, we have to discuss why something might be muksa. And with that, we go to source one. The Rambam has a few reasons why there's a concept called muksa. Asur chachamim iser derabbanan letaltel mitzat dvarim b'shabbat kederach sheoseh b'chol. You cannot handle certain things on Shabbos the way you handle them during the week. Umipnein ma nagu iser zeh. Why did they come up with this iser? Amru. The Nevi'im told us, you should not be walking on Shabbos the way you walk during the week. You should not talk on Shabbos the way you talk during the week. That means we don't discuss things. Nishnuf Shabbos Karet. We don't say them on Shabbos. Possibly, according to a statement in Tosot, we talk less on Shabbos. So we talk differently on Shabbos. Shenamar v'davar davar. That's a statement Shayahu says, and we learn a lot of halacha from it. So if that's true about the way you walk and the way you talk, says the Rambam, You should not be handling things on Shabbos the way you handle them during the week. First reason, so it shouldn't seem like a weekday to you. If we did not make certain things muxer to you, you might find all sorts of things to do to fill your time on those long summer and Shabbos afternoons. You might start rearranging all sorts of parts of your house. And what will happen? You will have exerted yourself so much, v'nimsa shalosh shava, you won't have rested. The Torah tells us, why did I give you Shabbos? So you can rest, and you won't have rested. So that was the Rambam's first reason. Then he gives a few more. But let's say the kli that you're handling is one that is used to perform an iser. Let's say, for example, we're talking about a pen. If you handle a pen, what might you come to do? Write, scribble, make a mark. And therefore, we don't want you to do malach on Shabbos. So therefore, don't handle it lest you do a malach. Some people are unemployed. Some people are students. Some people have nothing to do all week long. They don't do anything any day of the week. People just hang out on street corners. If you can go all week doing the same thing that you do on Shabbos, Nimtza shalosh shabbat shvita hanikeret, you won't notice that you have done Shabbos. Therefore, lefichach shvita midvarim elu ishvita shabbat kol adam. Everybody has to do this. And the rabbi throws in another reason. There's a gemara that says, or implies, that tiltul is lest you come to carry it out. Tiltul lavu tzarech. Chotzahi, isn't it? What's the problem for you handling all these inappropriate things? Well, you're going to forget, and then you're going to leave your house, and you'll end up carrying it. Okay? And out of context, I brought source 2 as well, where the Chasam Sofer rejects the idea that muktzah in general would be an iser d'oraita. If anything, it could be certain foods, if their muktzah might be d'oraita. Well, we might discuss which kinds that would be. But when we're talking about handling muktzah, it can't be anything more than an iser d'rabbanan. Okay, so tiltul muktzah, handling muktzah, lifting it, moving it, that's an iser d'rabbanan. And now we are going to get to our first category. We're going to go to source 3, but at the end of it, in Sif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kli shemalachtu leheter. But we're also going to have another category in the Sif, known as Ochel and any kli whose function isn't to perform something usher to do on Shabbos, mutar letaltulo, you can handle it. Afilu eno ela letzorech hakli shema yishaver o yaganev, you can handle it, even if it's only so it won't get ruined. Or what we call the category of mechama letzel. So kli shemlachtu leheter is mutar to, let's do it like this, to move it, to save it, so it doesn't get ruined. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Aval shelo litzorech klal, for no reason, aser letaltulo, you cannot handle it without a reason. Now again, it can be very easy to come up with a reason. We're going to see the reasons are really easy to come up with. But without a reason, you can't handle even a kli shemlachtu leheter, something that performs no iser. For example, a regular key. I'm not talking about a key that's an ignition key. That might be a kli shemlachtu leiser. It's used to perform an iser. But a key to something you don't need on Shabbos. Why would you handle it? Anything extra that you don't really need, a pillow, a blanket. Now, you can come up with a reason you want it. You can use it. You're allowed to use these things if you need them or want them. But you're not allowed to just stam handle them. That's what he says. Please lach leheter usser. Yes?
Does your reason have to be set before Shabbat, or you can
no.
just think of a reason?
You can come up with a reason right then and there. Good question. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Kitvei HaKodesh va'ochlin, but books, svarim, and food, mutar l'talpam afilu shalo l'tzarach klal. Those you can handle even for no reason at all. In other words, Chazal did make a gzera on all objects except for food and Kitvei HaKodesh. All objects at some point could, in theory, become moksa. Food, never, ever, ever muksa if it's edible. We'll see, inedible food may be muksa. But food and Kitvei HaKodesh, we want you to be able to learn all you want and all you can on Shabbos. That's what. That's why Shabbos was given to us, according to many Mamrei Chazal and many Rishonim. So therefore, there's no limitation on anything regarding food or Kitvei HaKodesh. This is mutter. But when it comes to Klisha Malachu Leheter, you're allowed to use it when you want to use it. You're allowed to save it if it's going to get ruined. But we don't just stop handling it. Okay? That is Klisha Malachu Leheter. In this category, watches that are currently working, balls, tennis ball, ping pong ball, etc. A kid's toy that doesn't make noise. Clothing, brooms, deodorant sprays, air fresheners, perfumes, furniture, a fake plant, and toothpicks. Okay? All those, don't perform an Isser on Shabbos. You want to use them on Shabbos? Go right ahead. The only limitation is, don't just fiddle with it for no reason. That was Klishim Lachtulayet. Now, let us go back a sieve in the Shulchan Aruch. Sieve Gimel. Here we have the category of Kli Shemlachto L'Isser. And this is a Kli whose primary use is to perform an action forbidden on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says, Kli Shemlachto L'Isser. Mutar L'Taltalo Bein L'Tzorach Gufo. Bein letzorach gufo kegon kornes liftzoa bo egozim. Bein letzorach mekomo dahainu shetzarich lishtamesh b'makom shakli munach sham. Umutar lo litol misham lanicho be'ezo makom shiyirza. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kli shemalachto le'iser can be moved letzorach gufo or makomo. Let's explain. Kli shemalachto le'iser, his example is a kornos, a hammer. What iser do you do with a hammer? Makim v'patish. Cute. What else? Really? Bona. Okay. You build with a hammer. That is the main thing you do with a hammer. Therefore, a hammer is used primarily to perform an iser. But what else can I do with a hammer that is permissible? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you may want it to crack open a walnut. You may want it to open a nut. That is a permissible action on Shabbos. So here's a kli whose main use is Isser, says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to use it, Litzorach Gufo, as in, I want to use it. Litzorach Gufo, I want to use it. These are the terms that Chachamim use for wanting to use it. Litzorach Gufo doesn't mean that you want to use its body. It means you want to use it. Okay? Litzorach Mekomo is, this hammer is sitting on my Shabbos table, and now I want to put out the tablecloth. This hammer is sitting on my bookshelf, and there's a sefer behind it I want to take out. This hammer is on a seat I want to sit on. So I can move this hammer out of my way. And once I have it, says the Shulchan Aruch, I can put it down wherever I want. I can put it down where it belongs. I don't have to drop it right on the floor there. I don't have to drop it the first safe place I get. I can be in the front of my house, know that the hammer belongs in the back of my house and it's in the way. I can pick it up. I don't need a shinoi. I can take it. Everybody can see. It's not a secret. I'm allowed to go and put the hammer back where it belongs. Yes?
This isn't like a cheesy question. This isn't like meant to be a joke, but like, if I appreciate like seeing like the table clean, is that a sufficient?
We're going to discuss that. Okay? Coming up right now. Okay? But, says the Shulchan Aruch, regarding this hammer, Aval mechama letzel, dehainu she'eno tzarech letaltelo, elu evnei she'yarei she'yishaber u'yganev sham, lo. Says the Shulchan Aruch, mechama letzel, I see somebody left out the hammer. It's going to get rained on, it's going to get ruined, somebody's going to take it, it's a nice hammer. Whatever the reason, so I am concerned that something's going to happen to it, so let me take it and put it away. And that, says the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do. Now, something we're going to discuss right now is, can we decide to use it? As in, it's sitting out there, and it's going to get ruined, and I want to move it inside, and I know I'm not allowed to. But I go, in my pantry, there are some walnuts. Can I decide? Well, you know what, I wasn't going to have any walnuts, but now that I see this hammer is sitting out here and about to get ruined, let me go get it and use it to crack the walnuts. And now, once I have it in my hand, what am I allowed to do? Put it away wherever I want. So let's finish the sieve here, and we'll get to that question. Continues the Ramah. Kol muksa eno aser el batultolo. Ava menekia ba'alma she'enu menanado shari. When we say muksa is aser, we're talking about handling it, lifting it, touching it, where you don't, the iser is to move it. Just touching it isn't a problem. Therefore, tein mutar likaf davar heter amunach al davar muksa. Let's say you have something on top of something muksa, and you want it, and when you take it, it's gonna, it might move a little bit. That's not a problem. Specifically, we're also going to discuss certain types of muksa, like a rock, and you'll see you're allowed to sit on it, because you're not lifting it, you're not handling it, you're not moving it, you're just on it. That's what the Ramah adds here as well. The Mishnah Berurah comments on this V'sifim of the Shulchan Aruch in source 4. What is Kli Shem Lachta Le'Isser? Sif Katan Yud. Kolomer Shem Yuchedel Ledavar She'asur La'asal B'Shavah Afilu Imrak Rov Malachto Le'Isser Hu Gam Kim L'Chazen. What if something does a lot of moksa things and a lot of mutter things? So he says it goes by the Rov, the majority. And when the Shulchan Aruch says, and I can just decide to use this hammer to crack nuts, says the Mishnah Berurah, can I just use a hammer? I have a nutcracker. Why would I use this kli shemalach to the iser when I have a kli shemalach to the heter? So if you don't have one, then you could use the hammer. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, what about our trick? Deciding this item, I want to move it mecham letzal, but it's aser, but the tzorach lufa mekoma, it's mutter. Mishnah Berurah says, that's fine. Your real, true, main motive is to save the item. But you're allowed to move it and use it and thereby save it. Even though your main goal is to save it. Igron Moshe comments on this line of the Mishnah Berurah where he says, where you don't have a Kli heter l'tashmiseh. He says, what does it mean you don't have it? So my neighbor has it. Do I have to go get one? So he named Masha Muskar Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Chet Siv Katan Yud Ben Nira She'en L'Troch Harbei V'Asaga Kli Heter. You don't have to work hard to go find one. Raka Nitzah Mekiru Makom Bli Torach Rav. If you have a nutcracker, then you can't use the hammer. Yesh Lo L'Shamish B'Kli Heter V'Lo B'Kli Shem Lachta Yisr. Mestaber Dim Ein Lo Kli Heter Av She'ochol L'Shol Eitzel Acher. So if you, even though you could go borrow one, you know your neighbor has a nutcracker, you don't have to. And he proves it from the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Dachin lo katava Mishnah Berurah. Umayri she'in yochol ahasig. He didn't say, we're talking about where you can't get one. And lo katava umayri she'in lo, we're talking about where you don't have one. So therefore, even though you don't have one, you can, meaning, because you don't have one, you don't have to go look for one, and you can use what you have. Yes.
Just to clarify, so in the case, let's say you have the nutcracker, but the hammer's outside, you're not allowed to bring the hammer in.
Correct. Yes.
Let's say you have a nutcracker, but it doesn't work as well as a hammer.
Then you can use the hammer. Yoni asked a question about, it doesn't look Shabbistic. I don't like it on my table, I don't like to see it out. That wasn't you who asked that.
No, I mean, that was like my question, but that's not the reason why I would want it. It's just satisfying to me.
To have a clean space. Oh, to have a clean table.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at the first question of source 6. This comes from this book, this Sefer, Halachos HaMuksa, where Rabbi Yisrael Pinchas Badner. It has a skamos from Moshe Feinstein, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and Rav Cutler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood. And in the book, he constantly cites them, and at the end, he just went to them with a long list of questions, asking them item after item, and he prints at the back of the book exactly what they said. So a few of them are very relevant to us, so we'll be quoting a few of them in the shir. Now just the first one. It says, Klish melach to l'isra munach b'makom she'ino matim l'chvod Shabbat. Right, and your Shabbos table, and you have Shabbos guests coming. Can you move this item that doesn't look Shabbos-tik? Mi chashav le ketiltul letzorach gufo makomo olo. And he answers, tiltul kazel lo chashav ketiltul letzorach makomo. That's not saying I needed space. And he says, and don't think that, oh, but it's not covered Shabbos to have this out here. Zeu gufo kvot Shabbat. She'enu metaltul davar she'asav lana metiltul. You are honoring Shabbos by specifically not violating Shabbos. What greater honor of Shabbos could there be that you are listening to the laws of Shabbos? On the other hand, let's look at source 7. Shmirah Shabbat Gilchata discusses the Tzorach Makomo. And again says, Aval kasher etzem himatzura kli v'mokam avu mafriyoto, wherever it is bothering you. Kemo patish amunach ala shulchan. Or him, says again, that's not considered the tzorach makomo. You cannot handle it. That's a strict halacha. But a lot of times in the Shmirat Shabbat Gilchata, which is one of the reasons it's especially important to learn the Hebrew version, because the English one doesn't have the footnotes. The Hebrew version will tell you the real secrets of the halacha. And here he says in the footnote, if you don't want it to be there, that's not considered I need it spot. Ach shamati michacham echad, diyech shlamar, the kol shemit bayesh bifnei orchim, kigon shemunach ala shulchan kli shemachdol de'isr, av shemikei agavna bechol in mit bayesh bichach. It's not that you would be embarrassed on a weekday. If somebody came to your house and saw it messy, that's not the problem. The problem is that it's muksa that's out. That's what's bothering you. Kevan shebishabat mit bayesh, v'lachein lo yachnisim l'cheder v'glala muksa nimtza v'makom, Sarif Makomo Mikri. So he quotes a shita in the footnote that says, if you are now not going to be able to use this room, so in order for you to be able to use this room, you have to move the item, that's considered you need its spot. It's in the room you need, and it's preventing you from using the room, that's Sarif Makomo, and you can use it. So Klish Lachdol Isser, an item used primarily for doing Isser on Shabbos. If the klishim lachdol heter can't be handled lo letzorach, that of course can't be handled lo letzorach. But the klishim lachdol iser is a special dispensation. It can also be moved letzorach gufo makomo, and not mechamel itself, but you could come up with a reason to move it letzorach gufo makomo. Let's just give a few examples, and we'll move on to the next category, and I'll take your question after that, before we get to the next category. Let's say an item is in the sun, and I can't move it mechamel itself, and I don't come up with the reason to be able to use it. It says, but right now I don't need it, but I know I'm going to need it later on this Shabbos. So if I don't move it now mechamel itself, I won't have it later. So that's allowed. You can move it in that case. You can come up with a reason to need it now, like you decide to open some nuts. So Mishnah Berurah seems to imply that in the case of hefseid, for example, let's say your hammer is on a rickety folding table. So now the rickety folding table looks like it's struggling from the weight of the hammer. So you don't want your table to break. So you can decide, let me have a snack at the table, and I'm going to go over this table. Oh no, Shabbos, I can't just eat at this table, I need to put on a tablecloth. Ah, look what's in the way of me putting on this tablecloth, the hammer. So then you move the hammer out of the way, you put it away, put your tablecloth on, eat some nuts, everything is good. Or your nuts don't even have to be nuts, you could eat anything. Meaning, and you'll go eat it at that table, put out the tablecloth, and you'll be able to move the hammer. So that, he says, you're allowed to do, b'makom hefsid. He also is matarit through a non-Jew. What type of iser is muksa? The rabbanon. So, b'makom hefsid, non-Jew can help you out. Finally, in the case of a corpse, we would be matir you, because a corpse is a certain kind of muksa, so we add food to it, like, you can't carry a corpse on Shabbos, but a corpse with a loaf of bread on top of him, and you want the loaf of bread, so then you can carry it. We may allow this in a great loss, but for that, speak to a posek. Mikomo, the tzarech mikomo, it's in the way. Something in the corner isn't in the way. I don't need to go there. But if it's in the anywhere in my path, even though I could walk on the side of it, I could avoid it. But if it's in the path, that's considered the tzarech mikomo. The tzarech gufo, I want to use it. That means I want to use it, or any Jew wants to use it. And I'm allowed to handle it for any Jew. My animal needs something, I'm allowed to handle it. For a non-Jew, we're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos. A new item hasn't yet been used for Isser. It's still a klishim lachdala Isser. But if you designate it for a permanent heter use, for example, let's say your house isn't fully done, so you don't have a key, you have a screwdriver you use. So you hang it there from a string, and the screwdriver is your key. So that screwdriver is not a klishim lachdala Isser now. That screwdriver is designated for heter use. And again, we said the Mishnah Berurah says it goes by the rov. So, for example, a pot. What iser is a pot used for? Bishul. What heter is a pot used for? To serve you some food. No iser of serving you food on Shabbos. So, how do I decide if this pot is a klishim lachdal iser or a klishim lachdal heter? Well, it goes by its majority. Is this a serving dish or is this a cooking dish? And if it's one that's used for both, you have to decide what it's used for more. Even something used to store muksa, for example, a purse, would be usher of klishim lachdal iser. If it's so, examples of this category: baking utensils, sewing needles, candlesticks, and lamps that weren't lit on Shabbos. Measuring cups, anything used to measure. Measuring on Shabbos is usher, derabbanan, unless you come to write. So, thermometers, rulers, measuring cup, anything that you would use in a fireplace, the shovel, the poker, stoker, or am I making up words? I don't know. Any small cheap appliance like a calculator, a flashlight, a radio, your car door, your car keys, the dryer door. For example, if you have clothes in the dryer and the dryer is off and you want the clothes on Shabbos, so can I open the dryer door in order to get out the clothes, given that there's no light or sound that's going to happen from it? Yes. Why? It's a klishim lachdal iser, and it's in my way. I can move it to tzarech makomo. Can I close the door when I'm done? It's probably not in my way, so likely not. If it is in your way, then you can. Scissors are klishim lachdal iser, done for chotech, but you can use them if you need to cut open the string that's closing your cake, etc. Poultry shears are designated for food, so some people treat everything designated for food as ochel, or in general we're more makel with them. Tefillin, it's a little bit complicated, but we consider them a klishim lachdal iser. A shofar, we also don't use on Shabbos. Musical instruments, you might do makev patish to them. A fly swatter, you might kill a fly. Pens, staplers, umbrellas, shovels, instrument cases, an aquarium, etc. All these are klishim lachdal iser. Yes, your question. And then your question.
So you presented both views about, like, if you just need the table to be nice or whatever. So how do we pass again?
Or leave. Okay.
What about klishim lachdal iser and your rabbanon?
Still klishim lachdal iser.
Couple of things. How do you determine if you've got a bunch of keys, some have like a car key and but some of your house keys, is it just good by rough of the bunch?
Well, each of them has its own status. We're going to discuss that in a category called buses that we're going to get to soon.
I just heard something that, like, Mux is kind of setting it aside, so before Shabbos you take a...
Yes, that's fine. If you designate it for use before Shabbos, it's fine. Yeah?
About, like, using
just carrying it, stop.
Carrying the gun. Carrying the gun is a cliche localizer.
Right.
But if you need it for security purposes, if you have a reason that you need the gun, then we're matured for that reason. Meaning
is that
it's sort of goofy. You need to carry it around so you can have it, so that if there's a terrorist who shows up, you can shoot him. But somebody who doesn't know how to use the gun, it's a cliche, you can't handle it.
Is finding a cliche localizer defined by the individual, or if someone uses pots frequently for serving?
Yes, correct. You always use this pot to serve, even though most people use it for cooking. It's a cliche
localizer. Even someone else's pot?
Even someone else's pot, if you borrowed it for Shabbos or whatever. Yeah?
If you know how to work a gun for security reasons, and your friend does not, can you ask you to leave your gun?
Can he pass you your gun?
Yeah,
because
it's for another Jew who knows how to.
Yes, that's sort of correct. We said Klishim Lapta Isser can be handled for your friend, the Jew who needs it. Okay, let's get on because we have four more categories of or books to get through, and time flies by. Okay, our next category is something called Mukza Machama Chisaron Kis. And this is anything designated for sale. Such as anything you sell, if you're a merchant, you sell it. Or even if you're not a merchant and you just want to sell it, like you decide, I'm going to sell this TV, I'm done with it. I'm going to sell this CD, I'm going to sell anything. So now that it's designated for sale, it is Moksa Machmat Chisron Kis. Anything like a camera, a stereo. The Gemara's examples are things that are delicate instruments that you, such as the tools of a mohel, the tools of a jeweler, a shochet, or a surgeon. Okay, a special scalpel that he uses for surgery, you can't use on Shabbos as a paperweight. So, these utensils wouldn't be used at all on Shabbos. What is mukza? Mukza, as you just said, means set aside. You don't plan on using it on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you don't have in mind that you're planning on using this item on Shabbos. I don't have to have specifically in mind every food in my house. In general, they're all ready for me to use on Shabbos. I don't have to have in mind any Kedushim Alachto Lehetar. I live my life. It's mutter to use on Shabbos. If I want to use it on Shabbos, it's fine. Even a Kedushim Alachto Lehetar before Shabbos, I have in mind, yes, I'm not planning on using the hammer, but if it just so happens I need to crack open a nut, I know I have a hammer and I know I could use it because I don't have a nutcracker. So in theory, I have in mind its ability to be used. Something that's mukta mechamat chisron chis, because of its value, it is set aside and wouldn't be used, so then I absolutely cannot use it on Shabbos. It is not based solely on its cost. For example, let's say you have the nicest china, fanciest wine glasses in the world, and they could be worth millions of dollars, so the Queen of England shows up for your Shabbos lunch, you're going to take them out. So it has nothing to do with it, meaning it's not. Cost is a factor, but it's not the exclusive factor, because just because something's expensive doesn't make it mukza of this category. Again, it's subjective to the owner. For example, you would use it only for this specific purpose, but other people would use it for anything. For example, if you just decide to buy a scalpel as a kitchen knife, so this scalpel is a kitchen knife. It is not one of these scalpels that you use in your backyard surgeon practice. We'll get to you one second. The rule is, if the owner withholds the item from use for fear of monetary loss. So again, it tends to be expensive, but need not be. It tends to be an item normally kept in a designated place. Like, oh no, why is that thing out? Who left that out? That's so, you know, delicate. If it has no other permitted use, as determined by its owner, and was withheld from use before being a shmashuk, that is Mukza Machmad Chisron Kis. Yes, your question.
So you said that Ochel is just objectively set aside because it's food?
It's objectively set aside for use, designated for use.
If you have like a raw piece of meat that's not...
Where, yeah, we said raw food is another category coming up.
Why broad reason for you to set it aside? Because you said if it's like a hammer or whatever, then why before Shabbos can you set it aside?
Because otherwise it's a cliche left to the Isser.
Yeah,
if it's designated as a cliche left to the Hatter, then...
No, but if it's on Shabbos and to crack nuts, then it'll be okay anyway.
That's okay anyway.
So you don't even set it aside.
Correct. But in your mind, it's not completely out of question that you would use it on Shabbos. As opposed to Mukta Machma Chisron Kis, you would never ever use it and they're on Shabbos, and therefore, even if you decide you want to use it as a paperweight, you can.
If it's a kli shemlach to l'heter, then is it mutter? Can it still be machrok some keys? Like the case of the glasses that are worth $9.
Yes, it could be mutter machrok some keys if they have a special.
So then why aren't the glasses mutter some keys?
Because you intend to be able to use them when the time comes up that you want to use them. Okay, they're not so set aside for its purpose that you would never use it. Let's say they were just a display item in a museum, an artifact, and would never be used, then they're
much more. But if you set aside, if you have kavana, then anything can be.
Okay. So let's look at a few sources about this topic. In source 6, let's go to Ot Yud Gimel. Sha'on Kir, you have a wall clock. Pictures on your wall. They have a spot. You never take down your pictures from the wall. Are they mukso? I just told you, mukso machman chisur kis means it has a designated spot, possibly. So he says, no. In a show, and it's munach, cover them up, come here, and I'm mukso vishvil se. It's liatam shamulunoi. You just hung them up because they look nice there. It's not that this is in spot and chas v'shalom and should never move from there. You hung up that picture of your wedding there. Because that's where you liked it. But it's not. This is its spot in Oibakoy if it ever moved from there. Let's look at source 8. another question from the back of the book to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He says, let's say you bought an item from a store and you want to return it. So is that Mukta Machman Chisr Kis? And his answer is yes. It's considered only the Skora. It is waiting to be sold. And it's Mukta Machman Chisr Kis. Questions come up in the postgame regarding a person who has a paper goods store. So all these paper goods are designated to be sold. So let's say he runs out of cups, can he go into a store and take some? So if he knows that he does that regularly, every day of the week, all the time, and his stock in the store is basically also his stock in his house, so then it could be fine, the postgame say. But a person who would never do that can't decide to do that all of a sudden one Shabbos because they're designated to be sold. Finally, source 9. Magen Avraham has a very interesting mutzah machmir chisur kis. Societally, I don't know if it applies as much today, but he says, Nir chalak, plain, beautiful, blank paper, you would never use for anything. You wouldn't waste it because it is so expensive and so rare. And therefore, it's mutzah machmir chisur kis. It's designated for its use. It's waiting to be whatever you would do with it. But you don't use it, just stop. So, fine. Let us move to our next category. Did I write that one down? Okay. So this is Mahamad. This is our own kiss. And it cannot be moved for any. Yes.
Well, what its specific purpose is something that you would do on Shabbos? Like say the queen is coming over for Shabbos lunch and you use this expensive china. Is it still usher?
No, that I said. Okay, the fancy china you would use when the queen comes. When the queen comes, you could use it. Okay? Fine. Our next topic is something called Mukta Machama Mufo. That is something that is inherently muksa, inherently usr, such as a rock, serves no purpose, a log, money, a broken dish, inedible food, a dirty diaper, an animal or a pet, anything that's not a utensil or food or kitvei HaKodesh is in this category potentially. Let's start with source 10, Beit Yosef says it explicitly. Categories of muksa is up to the third one. Kol davar she'ino kli, v'lo machal adam, v'lo machal behema. It's not edible to humans or animals, and it's not a utensil. Kigon avanim, v'maot, v'kenim, v'itzim, v'korod, v'afar, v'chol, dirt. Can't walk around with a clump of dirt on Shabbos. V'main, and a dead body, u'bali chayim, pets, animals. V'grogrod, ritzimokim, shem unachim, makum, shem yapshin otam. Dates, raisins, and figs. So they're edible when they're fresh, and then when you put them through the drying process, halachically we consider them inedible, I mean, maybe they are inedible, but halachically therefore they're muksa, and then once they're completely dry and edible again, they're not muksa. But if they're in that middle stage, They are Muktzah, and it's this category of Muktzah, says the Beit Yosef. Kol kayotzei b'dvarim ilu, delo chazu b'zeu Muktzah machmat kufo. And in source 11, this Sefer quotes a shita that you would use. Let's get that one for now. Okay. Let's go back to source 6, and let's look at Yudchet and Yudtet, where he gives two interesting examples. Yudchet, he says, a button falls off your shirt, can you handle it? Now, why might you be able to handle it? What could you do with a button?
Sew back on.
Would that be allowed?
No.
So what could you do with it that would be allowed? Interesting. Okay, so the Gemara's example for all these objects, including the paper, by the way, was that you would use it to cover your bottle. You have a bottle or a flask of some kind, and it's going to be covered. They didn't have bottle caps so readily and easily, so they would cover it. So you have a spare button. It's a large button, I guess, and a small hole in the bottle. You could use it to cover it. So does that work to allow you to handle this button? So says Moshe Feinstein, he says, nobody does that anymore. You've never been in somebody's house where their bottle was covered with a button. But he does agree, if indeed there were a use, your kids use it for their knock hockey game, so then a button could have a use. Yudtet, can you handle blinds from the window? And then he says, I even showed him some blinds. So I wouldn't decide to put them up on Shabbos, Tircha, etc. But if indeed they came down and you wanted to move them, and he said and showed him a certain way where it wasn't a problem to hang them because they're just stuck back in, they're not really being hung, they're just hung from two hooks or something. So he said that was fine on Shabbos. Okay, so how do we define what fits in this category? We said anything that's not a utensil, a food, or kitfei HaKodesh. So how do you decide if something's a utensil? So in this Sefer, he asked some poskim, can you define a kli? And they said, no, there's no universal definition for kli. There could be a kli for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, a kli for Kinyan purposes. There's no universal definition. But these kelim, you can't move them, but you can sit on them. For example, you can sit on a rock. But how do you decide to prepare for it for use? What does that mean? Bricks. What do you use bricks for on Shabbos? Nothing. They're used to build. But let's say I want to use a brick as a doorstop. So I know that my builder has left a pile of bricks here. Can I just go and take a brick and make it my doorstop? Can I make it my paperweight? So if you do it before Shabbos, the answer is yes. The way to do it is to either physically alter it or designate it for permanent use before Shabbos. It doesn't have to be verbal, but if it has permanent use. So again, in this category are branches, soap, dead animals, firewood, candles, cigarettes, blank paper, bricks, spare tiles from your building. Now, broken utensils, and not where they may hurt people, because that's another category, but if they're just broken if they're unused, they're muktzah machmat gufo. If they're usable, but not for the same purpose, like clothes that ripped, so now it could be a shmata, a rag, a dustcloth, so then if it happened before Shabbos, it's not muktzah. If it happened on Shabbos, it might still be muktzah. If you throw something broken into the garbage before Shabbos, it's muktzah. If you do it on Shabbos, you can change your mind and take it back. If you ever throw something whole, unbroken away, that doesn't make it muktzah. When we discuss usable and not usable, for example, let's say one of your laces breaks on your shoe. So you can keep using that shoe on Shabbos because a shoe missing a lace still works. But let's say the sole falls off, so that shoe isn't really a shoe anymore, so it is this category of muktzah. Inedible foods. Foods that aren't fit even for animals are muktzah machmat gufo. If it's still good for animals, it's not muktzah. We discussed foods in the middle of the drying process. Food for commonly found animals are not muktzah, even if you don't own that animal. But if you have food that's only good for tigers and nobody has a tiger around, it's a problem. That food is muktzah. But if you own such an animal, if you happen to have a tiger, so its food, of course, isn't muktzah. Raw meat. The Gemara discusses raw meat. and says raw meat is mutter because you could use it and people chew it and eat it. It's umtza. Umtza is this delicacy of raw meat. What's that stuff they serve at weddings? Raw meat?
Tartar?
No, like carpaccio or
yeah,
something?
Carpaccio,
okay. So like that. But so that was very common. So the poskim is Manazeh, if you look in Sodchaf of source 6, he says, Hayim utar letalcha basar chai bezmanazeh, can you handle wrong meat? Kevin ein haderech lakos basar chai avali muksa. Nobody eats that way anyway. So this wonderful sefer says, therefore, the same would apply with raw fish, because who would ever eat a raw fish? Then you look in the footnote, he goes, in certain oriental countries, I've heard they eat raw fish, so therefore, in their societies, you can handle raw fish. Okay, so therefore, this is modern orthodoxy. Halacha changes based on your mitzvahs. No, only in very limited circumstances, as in the halacha applies to the modern mitzvahs. We eat sushi. Who likes sushi here? Some of you? Okay, I see a bunch of hands going up. So for you, raw fish isn't muksa. Got it? That's the application of this halacha. Raw meat, which you don't eat, is muksa. The opposite of what we just read. Meaning raw meat, he says, is muksa. The opposite of the Gemara that says it's not muksa because people used to chew on it. Well, nobody does that anymore, so it's muksa. Raw fish, nobody would eat. Well, now we eat it, so it's not muksa. Fine. Raw vegetables that need to be cooked to be edible, they're also muksa. Insecticide, things that are used to, kill insects. Makeup, they're muksa machma gufo. Anything repulsive. For example, a bedpan. You would never use a bedpan as your paperweight or a container for some other purpose. So it's muksa. Body waste is muksa. Diapers are muksa. We don't handle diapers once they're dirty, meaning once you take them, change the baby's diaper, you throw them away, you can't handle them again. Utensils for bodily waste, pans, pails, urinal, even when they don't contain waste is muksa. Gas is muksa. The containers for gas, since we wouldn't use a gas canister, canteen thing, whatever the word is, for water or for anything else, so it is muksa. Animals and pets. It is one of the toughest areas of halacha on Hilchos Shabbos to deal with. People don't realize, but animals and pets are not very Shabbos friendly. Okay, really surim involved in them. If you have a pet, come talk to me or your posek afterwards, and we can discuss all the halacha and how you have to deal with them. But they are not food. They are not utensils, and they serve no purpose. This is the bottom of column 1. Hayim dinam kemukzo. Kids love playing with these live chickens. Tshuva. Kol balei chayim havalei mukzo. Afilu otan shatinok ha-mesakim bahen. Even ones kids play with. So therefore, you can't. They're functionless. You can't ride them. You can't shech them. You can't use them. They're muksa machma gufo. Playing with and looking at them isn't a function. For tsar balei chayim, we have certain leniencies, but you can't carry them. You might be able to drag them somewhere if you need to prevent suffering, monetary loss, but you can't hold it around its neck. You can't lift it up. So a lot of issues on Shabbos. If it comes into your house and wants to leave and you want to close the door so it doesn't run away, this is the raita of? Son. Okay, be careful. Garav shel rei, you have a pile of something disgusting. Literally means a pile of excrement. Okay? But some animal comes and does something in your living room, muksa machma gufo. You have a special heter, you need to use your living room on Shabbos. You are allowed to remove it. Might be preferable to use a non-Jew, etc. You can move it, enjoy your Shabbos without whatever that was in your living room. This might also come up with after you're done eating. Sometimes people make a pile of bones and shells, etc. So some posts can consider that garav shel rei, so you're allowed to remove that because you don't want that on your Shabbos table the rest of Shabbos and make it unpleasant, especially anything that has a smell or an attractive animal, so you can remove it. Next, machma iser. Muksa machma Mahmat Isser is an item that cannot be used due to an Isser, even an Isser Derabanan. For example, not the Isser of Shabbos, that's Klish Mahmat Isser. Think about an Isser Derabanan. For example, clothing that is Shabbos. Since you can't use it, can't get enough from it, so then it's also Muksa on Shabbos. A Klish Mahmat Isser can be used during the week. Just on Shabbos is a problem to use it certain ways. So therefore, there are ways you can move it on Shabbos. Let's say a kufa or makomo. This can't be used during the week. Tevel, bread before challah is taken, or also things that are also banah, mixtures of milk and meat, chametz on Pesach, yayin esek. Food that's not kosher, smoked to machmen isser on Shabbos. Fruits picked by a non-Jew on Shabbos. Animals caught by a non-Jew on Shabbos. Milk from a cow that was milked on Shabbos. Those items, smoked to machmen isser, cannot be moved for any of these reasons. Next. Muksa Mahmat Mitzvah. Mechamat Mitzvah. As in, this item is designated for mitzvah use only. For example, you can't use oil designated for Hanukkah for non-mitzvah use. We learned the second paragraph already. Shabbos. Okay, some of you. So it's hooked to the mitzvato. So these items have an additional Isser on Shabbos. Not only can't they be used, they can't be moved. If it has permitted uses, it's not us for tiltol. This comes up regarding your etrog. You can smell the etrog, even if you can't use it or eat it. So you can handle the etrog on Shabbos. So lulav, you can't. So therefore, you can't handle it on Shabbos. Sukkah decorations, sukkah walls. The shofar on Rosh Hashanah is used for shofar. It's designated for that mitzvah. You can't decide to make it your funnel. Fine. Nolad. So, nolad is items that came into existence on Shabbos. We're going to be mechalik between something called nolad gamor, which didn't exist at all before Shabbos, or an ordinary nolad, which existed in a different form. That's muksa only on yantif. So, ordinary nolad would be like something milked on yantif, eggs laid on yantif, bones or pits removed from food on yantif, items made by a non-Jew on yantif. So, those are a problem only on yantif. On Shabbos, those aren't. Isser Nola. Freshly burnt ash can't be moved. Rain, we know it really existed, so it's not Nola. You can use it, you can drink it, you can use it, move the water. You want to stand outside and drink the rain, you know, have fun. Snow, it's a machloket, but most of us are lenient. Snow that fell on Shabbos. I mean, snow from before Shabbos isn't muksa. Ice, let's look at source 12. Shmir Shabbos Gilchata says, Tovli manami latein mayim. Don't make ice on Shabbos unless there's a tzorach gadol. I asked Lord Maribeh of Daniel Soloveitchik for examples of tzorach gadol, and he proceeded to give us examples. And every example he gave us involved guests. I don't know, consciously or subconsciously, but he would be like, what if it's Shabbos afternoon and it's really hot and you think some of your guests might want ice and you're expecting guests? So, Shabbos morning, you're allowed to make it. Oh, okay, what's another example? It's Friday night, and you think you're having guests for lunch, and you know they may want ice in their drink, etc. And all of these examples involve guests. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but that's sort of gadol. Source 13, fresh milk. So you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to milk your cow on Shabbos, Mishum Tzar Bali Chaim. It's painful to the cow to not be milked, but the chalav is mutter that day. Eggs laid on Shabbos can't be moved. And source 14, Beitza Shenol B'Shabbos, Asar Filo Tatul, you can't even move it. Source 15 says, don't even touch it. Mishnah Berurah says, because when you touch it, it moves. Eggs are round. That's what he says. I didn't make it up. Okay. Finally, we're getting to our last category, and that is Basis L'Davar Ha'Isser. Basis L'Davar Ha'Isser is a non-muksa item that supports a muksa item. Let's look at source 16. Mita sheyesh aleha maot. Shulchan Aruch says, a bed with money on it. Afilu ein aleha atav haya aleha ben hashmashur. It doesn't have now, but it did have money on it going into Shabbos. Also, letapul, you cannot handle this bed. Demigo de katsoy lebein hashmashur, it's katsoy lekuliyoma. We have a rule, something that was muksa going into Shabbos, is muksa all Shabbos long. Afilu letzora gufo or makomo, it is usher to handle this item. But, he he says in Sivchet, Klishishalav Davara Asr Vidavara Mutter Mutal Tatal. If it has both Heter and Isser, you can't handle it. In what circumstances? Kigon Shidavara Mutter Chashu Vidavara Asr. Where it is more important. So how do we decide Chashivut? So there, this is a wonderful Sichas Musar about what's important to you in your life. Well, let's look at the last source, Igros Moshe. It says, Basis Ladavar Isser Uladavara Mutter. How do you decide that? Says Ramoshe, it doesn't go by its cost. Okay? Sorry. Get the Gashmis out of your mind. So you have a $30 pair of glasses and a $100 bill, but you need a C right now. So right now, the glasses are more important to you. You have a $2 sitter that you would like to use, you know, it's a sitter. And you have a $100 bill, you have a $1 million bill, if it exists. So the $2 sitter is more chashuv. So how does this come up? This comes up all the time. Your Shabbos table has candles on it. Okay? So the rules for a busis are an item becomes a busis only if it's intentionally placed on it. So not by mistake, not if it fell on it. And not if it was placed there during the week, like on Tuesday, and then you forgot to remove it before Shabbos. But you meant to remove it before Shabbos, but forgot. Okay? But if it was intentionally placed on there to be there, so then it is a busis. If it's used to store it, it's a busis even without this intent. For example, a musical instrument has a guitar case. Guitar has a guitar case. Your accordion has an accordion case. All of you play the accordion, I know. So that's a busis even without intention. Terech HaKra, you haven't just put something down for a second, you forget it, unintentional. If you put muksa, non-muksa in a suitcase, there's no room in the suitcase to not make it a pile. So the pile, the bottom item, is not enough room to not make it a pile, so it doesn't become a busis. The suitcase is a busis, but your clothes that are under your muksa items in your suitcase aren't a busis. If it's placed on Shabbos and it's still there, like somebody put something down on it, it's a machloket, so the lenient view allows tilting it, preferably by first placing something chashuv mutter on it. We have a rule that a non-owner can't make it usher for you. For example, somebody comes and puts something down on your table, he can't make it usher for you. If he's your shaliach and you told him to, then yes. If the owner clearly benefits, it's a busis. Like your friend puts a plate under your candle because he sees it's going to cause a fire, and then the candle lands on it, and now it's a busis. We have a rule about the different parts. Like there's a drawer and it comes out, so then there's a primary part of the table and a non-primary part of the table. So the primary part would become a, like if something's in the drawer, so only the drawer would become a busis. The table could still be moved, hopefully if you could tilt out the busis. And the preferable is to move it by shaking it, etc. That's where you've got all the shinoyim that you've heard about muksa, is all regarding busis. And that's where the minhag comes to put challah on the Shabbos table right away, because that's your mitzvah, and makes your table not a busis from the candlesticks. So I would want to do one last thing, but let's end so we can get to Marv. Any questions you can ask me after.